You're listening to The Potential Cast, episode 3 for season 2, School Hard. Buffy's mother gets trapped inside Sunnydale High School when a vampire named Spike arrives in town and launches an attack against the Slayer. Woo!
Woo!
Sorry.
Yeah, so the guy from Torchwood was on Buffy.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
When he was when James Marsters was on Torchwood, did he have a British accent?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Couldn't remember.
Yeah.
So, my name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
I'm Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
I'm Kim.
Hey, welcome back, Kim.
Kim's back. You know, this makes up for the two episodes that we didn't have any Kim. We now have two episodes with double Kim.
Nice, yes.
It's a wash.
Double Kim gum.
All right, so we want to do feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to read this one from Shelley Roth.
Yep.
Hi, GAKKS. Really have only one word to say about this episode. Spike, nuff said. Love you guys.
I'm not impressed with the name.
Oh. I think it's a homage to Pike in the movie.
Okay.
Is that right, Kim?
No, there's explanation. I mean, they explain it. We'll talk.
He explains it.
Yeah.
About the railroad spikes.
Yep, the railroad spikes. It gets elaborated on later.
So there's actually a reason for that name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are a couple emails here from Chris.
Okay. Read those.
I think your Lyrio should read the first one.
I'm going to read both of them. Chris sends us an email entitled School Hard. I get the major man stiffs for Spike. That is all, Chris JC. And what was it? I'd say 8 minutes later. Further to my last email, School Hard. My apologies to my wife, Rachel, who I know listens to the show. Sorry she had to find out about my man crush on Spike this way, but she never did respond to my hints about cutting her hair short, bleaching it near white, and then combing it back while wearing a long coat. Oh, who am I kidding? She knows full well how I feel about Spike.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Chris is the one that has inspired Bra Watch.
Thank you, Chris.
From the 11th Hour podcast, the Doctor Who podcast with Chris and Joe.
That's good. Thank you.
Another School Hard email from Amy. Amy writes, one of my favorite scenes ever in Buffy is in this episode. It's the part where Willow drinks the lemonade. Her face is so funny. My sister and I will do that scene if one of us doesn't like something and we are eating and say, it's very good. The question I always have watching this episode, why is Buffy covered in paint and Willow has no paint on her when they're creating the banner? Great podcast. I can't wait till you guys get into the middle of season 2. This is the part of Buffy that made me a freak, and I haven't stopped watching since. Out for a walk, bitch.
Oh,
now, I don't get that.
Good.
But it's a pretty nice sign-off. And
which episode is that from, Kim?
Oh, my gosh. It's not until season 5.
Hmm. Oh, son of a gun.
Okay. All right.
Who wants to read Moira's email?
Me.
Kim, you're Canadian. You can read it, Kimberly.
All right.
You kind of have to.
Hi, Gax, plus weekly mystery guest. So I peeked ahead to episode 3, School Hard. I'd been tipped that there would be an interesting new character introduced and that he'd far outshine Angel in terms of watchability. Is this true? Uh-huh. Anyways, I'm going to go on. Oh my God, Spike is awesome. He's got that rock star vibe. He does for vampires what Johnny Depp did for pirates in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
That Spike has got to be, if all of the vampires who claimed to be at the crucifixion were there, it would have been like Woodstock. And his sidekick. And his sidekick, Drew, she brings a whole new level to creepy, twisted, emotionally damaged characters. What's her deal? Was she crazy pre-vampire state? Reminds me of Helena Bonham Carter as Bellatrix Lestrange. Oh my gosh.
That's
Illyrio's cool. Like, she should read that better. In the Harry Potter movie.
What are you talking about?
I
said no such thing.
Shouldn't I
this
say
crazy
Bellatrix
Canadian
Lestrange?
Psychic link we have is really amazing.
They're going to be reoccurring baddies. They will be such fun to watch. But if vampires have no soul, how are they so bonded? Spike is so protective of her. I hope all shall be revealed. Loving the show, Moira.
Oh,
thank you, Moira.
Oh my God,
Moira,
so
you're
going to
keep loving it.
Yes, all will be revealed.
Yeah. Although I'm not sure Drew would appreciate being called the sidekick, I have to say.
Oh, so, okay. That was going to be one of my questions, because I know that Spike is part of the series, because I read all those Teeny Bopper magazines when I was younger, and I know that he's part of the show. But Drusilla, is she also going to be around for a while?
Next question, apparently.
She's important. I'll say that.
I figured she was.
She is important. Yeah, she definitely would not. She's not really a sidekick. I wouldn't say that. And she's not a one-shot entity.
Okay.
Does anyone here watch Red Dwarf?
I've seen a little bit of it.
Okay. There's an episode, and you can find it on YouTube, where Rimmer has this crazy, he's a hologram, and he gets this weird holovirus, which makes him go insane. And he has this penguin puppet that he talks to. I think he calls him Mr. Fibbles. And he talks to Mr. Fibbles, and they talk to each other about what to do with the rest of his crewmates and how they're going to kill them. And it's the exact same impression I got when Drusilla was talking to the stuffed animal on the shelf.
The dolls, Miss Edith.
Oh,
yeah.
The dolls.
The dolls, not the stuffed animals. Yeah, the dolls. It was the same vibe. Like, she's really crazy.
She
the
is.
Dolls with the red ribbons around their eyes. Creepy. Oh my God.
Yep.
Shall we do another voicemail?
Sure.
Sure.
I think we should do the one from Nikki.
Okay.
Good morning, Gax. This is Nikki from California. I'm listening to episode 11 right now, and I was just listening to the part where you were discussing how off-putting the title Buffy the Vampire Slayer was to some people. I've written in before and told you guys I was 16 when I started watching the show, so I didn't have any problem with any of the title or some of the goofier episodes or anything like that. But I continued my love for Buffy into graduate school, and I really wanted to write my master's thesis on Buffy.
Wow.
Which I ultimately did, but originally I got a lot of raised eyebrows, a lot of shaking heads. I had one instructor tell me that I would never be taken seriously academically if I tried going down that path. Of course, she'd never seen Buffy. She was just judging it by the name. And I fought really hard in my grad school committee and was able to ultimately convince the English department that, yes, there was something valuable in this show and there was something worth exploring. I now teach at that same university, and I've had some students come up to me and thank me for kind of opening the path to some more creative work in the English department. Other grad students have gone on to look at other things that are related to pop culture. And I just wanted to say there's definitely a stigma, unfortunately, that's attached to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, to the title, to her name. And at one point, I wish I could remember where it was at, but I read an article that quoted Joss Whedon, and he said something to the effect of, if you don't like the title, you don't deserve to see the show.
That's awesome.
Thanks,
Nikki.
There's a ton of critical essays and like college courses on Buffy. So there's actually like a journal, it's called Slayage, and they have a ton of like theses, what's the plural for that?
It's theses.
Theses that people have written based on the show and different parts of the show.
Yeah.
And all the books, and they're not just these, these just, you know, books just to make money off the name of the show. They are, you know,
like critical studies. Yeah, totally.
Yes. So thank you, Nikki.
Yay.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move to the meat and potato, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do it.
Me and Spike.
Okay. Okay. So the anointed one, was his voice higher than it was from last season?
Oh, John actually sent in a voicemail that mentions that a little bit. Yeah. Do you guys want to play it?
Yes.
Yeah, let's play it. Let's play it. I think it's apropos. Awesome.
Hey, Dax. Gax. This is John from Sofa Dogs Podcast. Spoiler alert. Spoilers approaching. Do not listen to this until after you've seen the episode School Hard.
Okay.
I wanted to bring up the character of the Anointed One and finally explain that the reason the character has a funny voice is because the actor at the time was going through puberty, and so they had to alter the way his voice sounded so as not to give that away. And it's also the reason the character was ultimately killed off in this episode, because they would not have been able to explain why a vampire who should be eternally a child is suddenly going through puberty and growing and aging and all that. So, yeah, they didn't think too far ahead on that one. But just wanted to throw that out there, and love the show. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. For that info.
So this basically tells us that Joss Whedon chose not to use the taller ghost anointed one.
Right.
As a solution to a growing child character.
Well,
but it was a good way to show just Spike's the character of Spike, that he was willing to upset the apple cart and get rid of a leader. So now there's no leader of the vampires.
Well, there is. It's Spike.
Spike, yeah.
And it was so seamless, it seemed like. Oh, God, I love him. Immediately, Willow has been my favorite character up until now. All of a sudden, boom, Spike. Up to the top. Willow second. Yes, I love him. There's nothing I don't love about him.
Oh, Gabby, I totally called it.
You totally did.
Anyway.
So, really? Like,
yes.
He's that big a deal?
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
maybe it's my lack of estrogen.
It very well could be. Boy, he has some pretty eyes.
Oh, God. Yeah, there's nothing about him that's not awesome. Even when he's a vampire.
His roots are showing. His roots are showing.
So what?
Isn't that a problem?
Who cares?
It's not a problem.
He's got the accent. Right. He's got the swagger. He's got the confidence. He's what? How old?
He's younger than Angel.
Yeah. Like, do you want to know, like, how old the actor was, or how old?
No, that's right, because Angel says he was his sire, or he says to him that he was a sire. He was a Yoda or something, right?
Yeah.
He actually says Yoda, but it sounds like Yoda because of the teeth, I think.
Yeah,
I can appreciate Spike and his popularity. I can definitely see him being popular. He hasn't resonated with me as being remotely as cool as he has with other people. I'm hoping that develops.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I do like the quips. I do like the wit. I'll say right away, his wit I like, but the coolness factor and the whole thing, maybe it's because there were a couple guys, there was one guy in my high school that was a poser that dressed just like him and had the bleach hair, and maybe that's getting in the way. You know who you are. And because I replaced you in that band with your happy bass playing with your nylon covered strings.
Oh, no.
Poser. Sorry. That's
some
mine.
Real anger there.
Wow. That's
my bitchy side.
It's like bitchy side Debbie. Coming up.
Yes, this is my Debbie.
You need a brownie?
I think I do need a brownie. Or I've had too many vodka coolers. I could totally, I appreciate his wit, and I'm waiting for other stuff to grow on me. But remember, I'm the guy that didn't like Xander at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, that Chandler stuff is not gone.
And he did, in fact, grow on me. So I'm gonna have an open mind with Spike. But this kind of instantaneous, oh wow, he's awesome stuff, that hasn't really happened to me.
Me neither.
No.
I appreciate him, but I'm waiting for him to impress me.
I actually felt the same way when I first saw it. I didn't adore him mm-hmm. right away.
At first, I was kind of he scared me, and he really grossed me out, because I don't it's hard to explain. He was, it's amazing how my feelings of Spike changed from one extreme to the other mm-hmm. over the course of several seasons. Oh, I should have said that.
Yeah. I think that's okay.
Okay.
Maybe
this is the way he was introduced, because he came out, you know, guns blazing, and like, I run the show, you know. Maybe that's part of his character.
It was
kind of
a Nikki and Paolo situation. You already have an established cast, and like, you're gonna come in here like you're kind of half running the show.
Exactly. Yeah, that could be part of it.
Like,
it was supposed to be like Sid and Nancy. It was supposed to be, you know,
Yeah.
Very much so.
I don't know. But then again, I was pulling for David in, you know, Lost Boys, and
oh yes, I totally agree.
I'm just kind of pulling for him, and I don't know. I like the bad boys.
Yeah,
and I like immediately he just had something on the screen to me that jumped out more than Angel ever did.
Well, that
oh, geez, I'm making him happy.
Well, if you would, James Mercer says when he first started this role, he had quite the swagger because he was in the relationship that he had like the best sex of his life, and so he drew from that to do this character, and so his character like oozes sex throughout this episode in particular, like in the bronze. See the bronze? when she's dancing and he's watching her, and like it's almost predatory. And
yeah, he's stalking her.
Oh yeah. And I mean, it's also very sexual. So
but not like the sexy dance from episode's cast.
Yeah. You mean the mating dance?
It was more obvious there. It was a little more. He was on the side watching.
Yeah. Being,
God, I'm sorry. I just
oh my God.
I gave you some Spike. Yeah, there we go. I said it.
When Xander was going through Buffy's purse to pull the
I have to talk about that. I have so much to say about that.
Okay,
that was going to be one of my points of revelation.
Yeah, me too.
That was the best.
Can I state it the way I'd like to?
Hilarious.
My point of revelation is, apparently, tampons burn male skin.
Well, I have more to it. So if you notice, he finds the tampon in her purse. Then later, when they're in the school, and Spike says, and I'm sorry if I'm taking someone's quote, but I have to say it, the fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the smell of a ripe young girl. She's on her period.
Good point. I hadn't put that together.
Smell it. I know, isn't that gross? It's so gross.
That's very sick.
But that is what they're getting at there. And it took me like to watch this episode like 3 times to figure that out. But I was like, oh my gosh, it's because she's having her period. But she wore a white skirt. What girl does that?
The Slayer does.
The Slayer.
The Slayer can get away with wearing white when she's on her period.
It's funny that we all kind of honed in on the same thing, because I put Xander got the wig for
Perfect.
Because he was so funny, how he reacted when he found it. That was hilarious. Like, ah.
Yes. Totally.
I thought that could have been like a practical joke, like the stuff people did. He just like,
the prop people put one in there.
I thought that would,
that would be awesome.
That was the greatest.
Can I a technical question? I don't know if you guys know this, but is this the first time we actually saw like a vampire morph from his human form to vampire form?
Oh my gosh. Maybe.
Because I saw when Spike turned around and he saw Drusilla or Drew.
That's right. It
wasn't a jump cut. It was actually morphing, wasn't it?
Yeah, because all the other ones, they cut away and then they come back and they're all done in their makeup. But I think this is the first time, right?
I haven't noticed it before. It's super significant because of it's when he sees Drew that happens.
Yeah, because that's why I thought at first, I thought, is Drew like a possessed human or what? I didn't know she was a vampire until the doll scene.
Miss Edith. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My theory is that Spike traumatized her as a vampire, and if she sees him in vampire form, she's going to kill him. That's my theory. And so he has to remain calm and cool and smooth and collected. But that's it.
Go ahead.
And then I was like, or they could have been saving money, because I noticed the first, at the end when Buffy killed a vampire, there was no dusting, but there was the noise. And then you got to see that later. So maybe they were saving the money from that one thing to allow the morphing to happen earlier in the episode.
Maybe. It was impressive.
I think it's pretty much not spoilery to say that the intent of that was to show Spike's love and affection for Drew.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he, he's being all boisterous and all full of himself. And then she walks in and he's immediately concerned and he's no longer full of himself. So he doesn't have to have the vamp face on. He's not trying to intimidate anyone. He is just truly concerned about her.
So is he a nice guy? Or is he just sick?
He's a vampire.
No, I know. But within the context of being a vampire and being a demon and all that, because you know how Angel has a soul, so he feels remorse about what he did, right?
He doesn't have a soul.
He has killed two slayers and he's out to kill his third.
I understand, but why... How come he's so nice to Drew? But if he doesn't have a soul, how can he love?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Maybe I'm thinking that maybe he killed her by accident and he loved her, kind of like a Buffy thing. What if she was a Slayer before? Because what if Angel killed Buffy? Like he loves her, so he would protect her if he turned her, and then he would treat her like that.
But Angel has his soul back.
Well, I don't know.
Because
the questions you're asking, Leo, are giant questions that everyone in the fandom.
I will now slowly step backwards out of the room.
They're really big questions.
Okay.
They're great though. It's awesome when you're thinking about it.
Yes, a lot of these things, a lot of these questions that you have, they'll be answered over a long period of time.
Yeah.
The answer's not very simple. I still think about
this is why I have my show.
Yeah, you're still gonna think about demon love. What is the deal? The love from a vampire is twisted love.
I'm not sure
that's an absolutely accurate statement, but I can see where you're coming from, Steph.
Yeah. It's just hard to say.
It is. It's a tough one.
My problem with Drusilla is that she seems so spacey and out of it. Is it because she's really hungry or is
sick? She's really sick. They talk about that.
She mentally, or she just needs, she's She just needs to be healed in some way. Because she just seems so weird.
Well, they brought him to the Hellmouth because like that will make her better.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly. She needs to get better.
Not that she's like really stoned.
No,
she didn't have a bunch of hippies at Woodstock or anything.
And it hasn't worn off yet. Is she on PCP?
Gang on PCP.
Okay. I love that because that's also the line from Terminator 2. That guy was on PCP. Or from Terminator, I forget which one, where he punched through the...
Oh, that's awesome. I did not know that. That's cool.
The catch-all excuse for crazy, violent, unexplainable behavior.
I'm sure PCP. Josh stole it straight from there because he loves
Terminator. Stuff. Yeah.
Okay,
so help me understand this. Thursday night is parent-teacher night.
The longest parent-teacher night of all.
Yeah, but Saturday night, the next Saturday night is the night of St. Vigis, and this is when vampires' natural abilities will be enhanced. Mm-hmm. And so Spike is going to kill Buffy on the night of St. Vigis, but he decides he can't wait that long, so he goes and attacks her at parent-teacher night, correct?
Right. Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm.
Poor impulse control.
Yeah. So what happened to Saturday night?
He didn't feel like he needed to wait. He's pretty cocky. Well, he's just awesome. One girl, whatever. He's already killed two slayers. He like it's his thing that he does, and this is just one like who the heck is she? He's not that concerned. Mm-hmm. His minion almost killed her at the Bronze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's like, she's gonna be cake, no problem. So why does he have to wait? If he can do it sooner, then he gets all the glory sooner.
Mm-hmm. Plus, wouldn't they give her more time to prepare?
True. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh no,
he likes to make plans and then not do them.
What is it, Kimberly?
No, I was just thinking for a second, like, why would he bring her to the Hellmouth, right? I'm thinking, does he have to kill Buffy for her to live?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It's just an added bonus for him.
Another notch on the Slayer slaying somewhere. Belt.
Yeah.
Did anybody notice that nobody can dance at the Bronze?
I mean, Willow wasn't even trying. She's standing there.
Well, that was the overalls.
I'm handcuffed with my hands over my head dance that Sarah Michelle Gellar was dancing.
That's her signature move, I think.
That's her move. That's her move, man.
That's awesome.
Okay, good. I actually had to back that up and watch it a couple times because it made me laugh so hard.
There's some people in the background that are dancing really stupid.
Yeah.
Is it because there's no music and then they add it afterwards?
Yes.
It might be.
I hope so.
It might be. Spike isn't very subtle with distraction. Hey, there's someone trying to bite some guy out back. What the? Hey, what's going on there?
But think about it. I mean, he's pretty clever. That one was kind of cool. I mean, because he wants to watch her in action.
Mm-hmm. It sounds so dirty.
Sure does.
I still can't get over Xander looking for this steak in her purse.
Okay, so this is the first, the fight scene in this episode was amazing. Like, everything in the school. Everything in the school, because it was, like, down this hallway and that hallway. Like, everything had to be choreographed just right, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and you can tell Sarah Michelle Gellar has learned how to fight. Mm-hmm. She's learned martial arts.
Mm-hmm. I totally enjoyed the scenes. I thought it was great.
I have another point. In Sunnydale, a drop ceiling tiles can support 110 pounds. I have drop ceiling in my office that I'm in right now, and no.
But even the support beams, no.
The little tiny just... aluminum tracks that those things are on will not be enough of a ledge for that flimsy, foamy stuff to support anybody.
I agree, but weren't there 2x4s up there in some of the ceiling? That
the 2x4s were in the wall.
Oh, okay. I thought there were some in the ceiling.
She wasn't really on them.
Pulls it out. Yeah.
It's true.
Well, I have a surprise. There's a boarded up old cellar behind the stacks.
Behind the stacks.
Yeah.
There's just no telling what you're going to find behind the stacks.
Everything.
Seriously, Giles really needs to look at his library.
Like, what does he do all day? He's just sitting there reading one book?
Tutoring. Yeah.
There's a skylight that magically appears.
Sunnydale's ever morphing like that.
Yeah. What is the
did you ever watch that show called Mothers? And there's like these two moms, they're comedians in real life, but their neighbor wore like this fanny pack. And every time they needed something, she always had it in her fanny pack. That's what, like...
Is that a Canadian
thing?
No, it was an American show.
Don't try to blame Canada for this. We will own up to crappy television that we produce with like a 15th of a budget of a 2.5 men. And we will own up to that, but don't blame just any crappy TV idea on Canada.
It just reminded me of that. I'll have to try and find it now for you.
I don't know.
I have another point, if I may.
I have a
Saint Vigius is the patron saint of demons. Like, why is there a saint, a canonized individual, Saint Vigius, who's going to, his day is going to make vampires more powerful? I don't understand that. How can vampires have a patron saint?
Okay, so I can explain some of this. The master is the one part of the, like, maybe even the founder of the Order of Aurelius.
Okay.
And so he is, and like all the people that are there under them, and like the anointed one, they're all about the Order of Aurelius. And that order is all about the chanting and the it's almost like the equivalent to the Catholic Church of vampires.
Okay.
You know? So they have their, like, they have saints and they have rituals and they have chanting and so it's like it's just that particular order.
Okay, and, so it's and not an order a Catholic is, saint, it's the vampire church saint.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And so, like, and the different orders are sort of like the different, like, families, like the lineage. And so the Order of the of Aurelius may, I don't actually know, I may have started with the master, and then everyone that he has sired, and everyone under them
is all just a moment. Is all this stuff just Whedonverse stuff? Or has this come from different sources? Like, did Joss make all this stuff up?
Gosh.
Because that seems pretty intricate.
It is. It is. But it, I mean, it does, it comes out in pieces. It doesn't hurt you to know now, but it comes out in both Buffy and Angel in pieces. You get quite a bit of the history of the vampires.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And then, of course, fans, you know, like, tend to dig in, but also stuff like Joss will, like, and you guys aren't doing the DVD extras and the commentaries. I hope you're not, because you'll get spoiled ridiculously. So, but they, if you, when you listen to those, they also give a lot of background info on that kind of thing. So, but yeah, that's the deal with the weird patron saints.
Okay, thank you. More points.
Is this the first time we see? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Sheila is just all together her own little.
She's a mess.
She's hilarious. I love that her boyfriend is meat pie.
How tough.
She's hilarious. I love Sheila.
I was going to say, is this the first time we've actually seen Cordelia being, like, part of the group? Because, I think the pilot, the season 2 premiere, she knows that Buffy's, you know, a vampire slayer and all, but this is like the first time we see her like helping out.
Yeah.
You know?
She's whittling. Yeah. For all of 3 minutes.
Yeah. Because like the first season she wasn't really part of them. She was here and there. But now is she like now like a full fledged member?
Ish, yeah.
Okay. All right. I shouldn't ask these questions. Yeah, but yeah.
I guess she's slowly becoming part of the Scoobies.
I think this is the foundations of it for sure, mm-hmm. especially near the end.
Should we start, like, at this point, we should be like, oh, we don't hate her anymore. We like her. She's one of us.
No.
Oh, okay. Because I'm feeling like the transition from being a complete bitch to being, like, one of the Scoobies, it seems too quick to me. And that's why I'm kind of like I'm not accepting her in my little group. Still,
Buffy feel free to hate her until you don't.
Invisible Girl.
Yeah,
Buffy saved her from the Invisible Girl. I think that's pretty significant, though.
Yeah,
and that will kind of push you in one direction. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. It's you know, it's, it shouldn't be all overnight, but she's still being quite bitchy and self-centered, even though she's around and aware.
But in the end, when she was trying to thank Xander in the
previous episode,
Some Assembly Required, that scene, she was very sincere.
Yeah,
she was. I know. I don't hate her as much as I hated her before, but I'm indifferent to her at this point. I don't care about her. I don't love her. I don't want to see what happens to her at this point.
All right, well, baby steps, you know.
Yeah, I know. Baby steps to the floor. Yeah, so I'm baby stepping to liking Cordelia, but I don't like her yet. I'm just indifferent to her at this point.
I'm starting to appreciate Cordelia.
Yeah.
I'm starting to like her, like even her little quips. How long have I been doing this? I'm starting to like that.
Appreciate her part in it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her lines and Xander's lines make me laugh out loud literally the most. Because they're just hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Before now, we didn't know why Snyder is such a jerk. Such an ass. Before now, we didn't know that he knows something because we see that he and the
cop
police,
at the end.
We're going to use the same story. Gangs on PCP.
Gang on PCP.
What do you suggest? The truth? I went, what?
Yeah.
I kind of want him to die. I want him to go the way of all of the other principals. But not necessarily the exact same way, because that was just gruesome and gross. But I wouldn't mind seeing another principal.
Did I say that this was all the principals that we were going to have?
Yes.
Did I say that? Oh,
no,
well,
but you
wrong.
Said that
you're
he
wrong.
Would be the least of our concerns.
I was wrong. I forgot.
You did.
Oh, Seth.
No, you did say that he would be the least of our concerns.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You didn't mention if there would be other principals or not. But yeah, he knows something.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Thumbs up. Snyder knows.
Listen to this. Why do I have down here, the Slayer has family and friends, Spike wasn't counting on that.
Yeah.
What happened? Because I don't remember why I wrote that.
He says that. It's a quote. He says, a Slayer with family and friends. He says it to Drew.
Yeah. Near the end.
Well, Willow is pretty helpful. And then her mom? Hello?
Mom,
yeah.
Good choice.
What is up with that?
That was my favorite part of the episode.
Is she just being a mom? Or does she know more than she, you know, than she leads on to? Just saying.
Joyce turns out to be a former Slayer, I'm going to half guffaw and half squee.
But I was under the impression that all the former Slayers have died. But I could be wrong, but that's
maybe
what...
Maybe Joyce is just dead inside.
It's not...
She is too wrapped up in her own gallery to notice that her daughter is about to be killed by the master.
Or, but is Joyce trying to throw her off? I don't know.
Well, I will say, it's not a genetic thing.
Okay.
Okay.
But Joyce is awesome, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Well, can I just say that in Out of Mind, Out of Sight, Buffy's awesomeness was hidden by just someone not being able to turn around. And in this episode, her awesomeness is hidden by a door. Her mom can't really see everything she's doing because she's behind a door. And it's very convenient. It's very Pokeroo.
Very.
You know, very. Come back to the whole Pokeroo thing where, oh, someone came in and beat all these people up and I missed them again. Did you see her, Buffy? Did you see who did this, Buffy? And I'm concerned at how long that can actually happen. How long are people going to be conveniently unable to notice that Buffy's doing all the ass kicking?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, though, there's denial is a big thing. Like, and this is something that a lot of, you know, that a lot of science fiction things play on. But denial is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Kim, would one say that it was suspicion of disbelief?
Very good.
I refuse to say that because I don't want to get punched.
Oh, no. More hate mail for me.
If you want to send hate mail to Gabby.
So is it important that Spike said he was surprised she had family and friends?
Yeah, because none of the other Slayers...
it's unusual.
Buffy is a very unorthodox Slayer. Mm-hmm. She's very... Because she's a little stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
Do we ever learn about the other Slayers before Buffy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Do they all look like Buffy? Are they all played by Sarah Michelle Gellar?
No.
Okay. Thank God.
Wow, that'd be really
with different hair and outfits. So no overalls or miniskirts.
But they all wear their pants really high.
Back then. Mm-hmm. Jeez.
And I want to mention the Sire thing. It's pretty much been covered because I think, but I wanted to also add the piece about with the Sire. Sometimes one thing has been argued that you can call anyone that you're vampirically related to a Sire.
Did Angel make Spike? Did he turn him?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, Kimberly, I'm with you because it's always been my understanding with vampire lore, just in general, that whoever is your sire is the one that made you into a vampire. That is how I understand it. Not any of these weird, twisted other ways that it's become. That's the way, that's like almost like the original way, or the way at least that I've always understood coming up into vampire lore.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I felt the same way. I got really annoyed, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
so like, he's not?
Keep turning in Kim all the time. They never stop. She's always trying to figure it out.
I am. It was like I was watching Fringe last week and I figured out something before it happened and I wanted to like text everybody. I'm like, no, I'm not.
It's like the ring thing in the Vampire Diaries. As much as I enjoy that and I understand that's what you need to keep a, you know, teenager love story going, although I haven't watched season two, so I'm sorry. But yeah, the way that I've always understood it has always been that vampires are at night and whoever sired you was the one that created you and turned you into a vampire.
Yeah. And well, then, I mean, and they keep to that mostly in Buffy, but it's just a term. Like when he says, you're my Yoda, that kind of thing, that is significant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see he is speaking metaphorically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I buy that.
Because remember when what's her face said that Angel was the baddest vampire that there ever was? It's like trying to be like Angel because he loved him, like not loved him, but like he looked up to him so much. But then Angel turned into like a shell of himself that now Spike has to like pick up the reins and be as bad as Angel was.
You guys are so observant. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And there's silence. Silence.
I think this is the one podcast where silence is actually awesome. because there's this kind of, a lot of people that are listening have so much more knowledge than the three of us.
Yeah, they can fill in the blanks themselves.
That they could totally fill in the blanks themselves. And the silence, instead of being like an awkward pregnant pause at the dinner table, it's like, it's the moment of realization where if this were a movie, you would see Steph's eyes go back and forth. And you'd see Kim's eyes go back and forth. And you'd see Kimberly, Gabby, and Illyrio's eyes going like, what's going on?
Yeah. But Illyrio, do you ever get the idea that, like, when there's a pause and we're, like, theoretically staring at each other, there's people shouting at
us? Yeah, that's true.
Like, I think that's just Debbie inside of you trying to
DM that Debbie!
I have to admit, there have been a few moments, even just during talking to you guys, where I've been, like, silent and, like, cheering, like, throwing my arms up, like, I'm not that's telling funny. You when, but there have been some awesome. I've been like, wow, that's so great.
I've been getting handsy with my talking tonight as well.
You've been getting what, handsy?
I'm just handsy. I talk with my hands, and I wish this was a vidcast right now.
Yeah, I think that too, when we have those pauses, people listening are going, oh my god, or they're like, so stupid, no.
I think it's probably more of the latter.
Meanwhile, somebody's formulating, someone else might look constipated, you never know.
Oh man.
Does Spike do this kind of misjudging thing a lot? Like, showing up a day early because he was cocky and it didn't work out? Like, is he kind of almost, he's cool, but he's not like the most organized, forward thinking, he's not the best planner when it comes to vampires?
Like, he's bad with time management skills.
Yeah.
He's impulsive.
Like, yeah. Is he maybe like impulsive to a fault where it's cool, but it really is it's to his own detriment that he's like this? Is this going to be a theme?
I don't know, Kim. What do you think? I don't think so.
I'm just curious if he's going to get into this.
I'm wondering, is Spike going to be more of a badass, or is he going to be more of a...
Like, are you worried if he's going to become like a doofus?
I'm not worried, because I think that could work. Right? Because he can still be intimidating, but be a bit of a doofus. Because that'll... I mean, silly to say it'll humanize him, but it'll...
I think he's kind of like Sawyer from Lost.
I totally can understand that, and I can totally see that relation.
A good guy in bad guy's clothing.
Okay.
An anti-hero hero.
Yes.
If Angel is Jack, Spike is Sawyer.
but then that doesn't match my attraction, because I was all about some Jack and I was not about some Sawyer.
That's because you have a thing about Daryl Sachs.
You're right. I love Daryl Sachs.
Is it a spoiler to ask if the term Daryl Sack will pop up in the next 6 seasons?
Never.
Awesome. Thank you. I can scratch that off my list. Let's do some quick. Any last points that are extraordinarily important before we rate and then quote and then talk about homework?
I just wanted to ask what you guys thought about the Spike and Drew head tilt thing when they did their little, like...
Almost kiss?
Yeah.
I didn't think much about it.
Oh, it's so iconic.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Hmm.
Oh, he won't...
I don't even think I noticed it.
Is it significant that she drank his blood and he didn't drink hers?
No.
Is she sick? Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I didn't really notice the head tilt.
I don't really care for her very much at this point.
She kind of creeps me out a lot.
Yes!
A lot more than horny
she
zombie
is creepy.
Guy from last
She's
episode.
Super creepy.
Yeah.
She's like stony vampire.
Yeah.
In a bad way. Not in like a funny, I want to have some chocolate way.
No. let's rate this.
Right. I'm going to go and say that of all the episodes we've watched, this has been my favorite. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Next.
Oh. Fine. We had the bronze.
Yay.
And I really like this a lot. And I forgot to listen back to see what I rated the pack, which is, I love the pack. I still love the pack, but this has Spike. It has Franz. It has some awesome stuff. So I'm going to give it 9.75 bra straps.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Kim.
I think I would have to give this, like, I think I'm going to go with 7.5 because I'm thinking, but see,
You're grading on a curve.
I'm grading it. I'm thinking about the whole spectrum. So, so I would say, yes, 7.5. It's really one of my favorite episodes though. I love it.
Yeah. I would give it a 8. Or a 9. I guess a 9. There's a couple of lame lines, lame jokes that don't quite work. And that's the only reason that I wouldn't give it a 10. So I'll give it a 9.
We had Angel using Xander as bait.
Loved that. Loved it.
We had Joyce telling off Principal Snyder. We had Buffy telling off Principal Snyder. We had Buffy kicking some really good butt. When lots of good fighting, we had Cordelia and Willow praying in the janitor's closet.
Yes.
We had a gang of PCP addicts. I'm gonna give this episode right now. I'm gonna give it a 9 cups of lemonade out of 10. It's very good.
Very good. And then she makes Cordy have some lemonade.
Quote time.
Go, Steph.
Nobody lays a hand on my little girl.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
Gabby?
Slayer, here, kitty, kitty.
See, I always wanted him to say, Slayer, come out and play.
Kimberly?
I'm a veal kind of guy. You're too old to be eaten. But not killed.
Kim?
I spent a good part of my allowance on this new cream rinse, and it's neither creamy nor rinsy. Nice.
Oh, painful.
And my favorite so far, I think, honestly, of the entire series that I've seen so far, people still fall for that Anne Rice routine. What a world. what's our homework, Kim?
You mean Stephanie?
You mean Stephanie?
I keep doing that. I think I'm gonna have a non-alcoholic beverage next time. People, if you want to, you know, listeners, send us some feedback. Call us, 270-40-BUFFY. Send us an email, potentialcast@gmail.com. Go to potentialcast.blogspot.com, or, you know, you're lazy, you don't have the time, potentialcast.com will get you there too. You can subscribe via iTunes through a link there. You can subscribe through a basic RSS feed. You can also comment on each episode and read the show notes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Do it up.
Okay. Next week, Inca Mommy Girl. It's another new character we're introduced to.
Ooh.
Another new character.
Interesting.
Wow. Isn't that right, Kim?
Yeah.
I wonder if this
Well, I'm not sure which character you're talking. There's a few, actually. There's
what? Yeah,
there's I can think of two in particular that continue.
What? Reoccurring characters?
Yeah. Seriously? One of them you won't notice though.
Okay.
But it's one of my favorite characters, so I have to mention it.
I'm literally going to go watch it right now. Netflix streaming on the iPhone. Rocks!
Yay!
Unfortunately, Canadian Netflix doesn't have Buffy yet.
No.
But we have Mad Men.
We do.
That is also awesome, but not vampire related.
No.
No. All right.
It's been a lot of fun, guys. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks for having
me. If people want to hear what Kim has to say about other stuff, you can listen to her at
UpsideDownHappyLand.com. That's probably the best place to go.
Awesome. Thanks again, Kim. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah. Even though we can't listen to your podcast.
I know. But you can come on it. You're welcome to join me.
Perfect.
We could be like Robin.
There can be only one.
Actually, John, Robin, and Kevin have all been on my show.
Awesome. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
On the floors of Tokyo, out of London town to go-go. With the record selection and the mirror's reflection, I'm a dancing with myself. When there's no one else inside, in the crowd and lonely night. Well, I wait so long for my love vibration, and I'm dancing with myself. Sink another drink, cause it'll give me time to think. If I have a chance, I'd have to walk to dance, and I'll be dancing on with myself. Oh, 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 oh
dancing with myself.
Well, see, Spike doesn't look like Billy Idol. Billy Idol took his look from Spike.
Oh, is that part of the narrative?
They do talk about that. But later.
That comes much later.
Oh, my.